How many of you saw that movie, Death Takes a Holiday? Back in 1934, you were just kids. And I saw I saw that movie when I was a teenager or something on TV, black and white. Frederick March played in it. 1934 was the movie, Death Takes the Holiday. And it's a movie about death taking on human form, and he wanted to see what human life was like. And he ends up falling in love with a beautiful woman. Well, I made the title of this sermon, A Holiday Takes Death. And it's the true story of the King of Life becoming a human being so that he could seek and save his bride-to-be from the bondage of death. And we're that bride. The church that God's Son died to liberate. At Easter, we celebrate his resurrection victory over the grave. Easter is the holiday that takes the sting out of death. I want to read, before we get into this message, I want to read this passage of Scripture that's there. You can read with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 through 57. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is the holiday that takes the sting out of death. And we think about Christmas a lot. It seems to be more popular, especially with the world. Christmas seems to be more popular than Easter. But Easter is the central holiday of Christianity. It's the Sunday from which all other Sunday worship comes. After Christ's resurrection on Sunday, the early church started meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week, to commemorate his victory over death. And it was a big switch for the Jews, but to move from the seventh day, the Sabbath day, to move it to the first day of the week, Sundays, and start meeting on Sundays, because it demonstrated the intensity of what took place on that very first Easter Sunday. So a Sabbath day is a day of rest. It's the end of the work week. But Sundays mark the beginning of a new week, a new beginning of a new work. And what is that work? It's Christ's resurrection life inside of us working now. It's like that's the beginning of the week. And it's like we're still in that week that began on Easter. We have not come to our Sabbath rest yet. And so Christ's resurrection is working in us right now. Now, holidays are really from the word holy days. You probably all know that. I don't know if some of you do. But holidays are holy days. They're days that are set apart. That's what the word holy means, set apart. And these holidays memorialize great events, but sometimes our minds get distracted, our memories sort of like fade a little bit. I have this illustration of the war that was happening between Greece and Persia, and Greece finally defeated Persia at the Battle of Marathon. And a herald named Pheidippides ran 25 miles to Athens with a one-word message: victory. That's where the marathon races come from, 25-mile races. It's the basis of those races. Well, one year, they were having a marathon or something, and the Saturday Review had a cartoon of Pheidippides, and he had run all the way, and he was reaching Athens, but all he had to tell everybody was, "Oh, I forgot the message." But we must not forget this message, our message. We too are heralds And we're in a lifelong marathon running with this message, the message of Christ's victory. Let's keep that hopeful message in our memories. And how we do that is we freshen our memories every time we meet on the weekday, Sunday, because that's the day that Jesus was raised and had the first victorious Easter, when Christ took the sting out of death. But each year, we meet on this day, on Easter. We're meeting in a world that is full of anxiety and worry. And it changes. The worries change. The anxieties change. But they're always there. Listen to this verse again. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Now, there's a tension in this verse, and the tension is between two different things: perishable and mortal, with the imperishable and immortal, immortality. And it's those two areas, the perishable and the mortal, that are the two big areas of worry in our world. This is an age of anxiety, an anxious age, worried about viral epidemics, worried about economic crashes, worried about corrupt politics and corrupt politicians, and tragic shootings, and global threats of war, and terrorism all around. And I have to tell you, you won't remember this, but Dawn probably remembers it, and Rosemary. One day, one Easter sunrise service, there was a bomb threat across the street at that liquor store, and they closed down the gates. Dawn, you weren't able to get in, right? It was like, yeah, right across the street from us was a bomb threat. Now, those can be big, and it could really take out some things. But it turned out to be, they solved the problem, whatever it was just a threat. But still, terrorism. It's the things people worry about in this world. Well, the causes for worry are in that one side of that tension in this verse. What leads to anxieties and worries, even to despair and pessimism, is that we already know something. We're already certain about this, for sure, that everything finally wears out. Now, when we're buying something, what's the guarantee on this? How long does it really last? What's the life on this? I want to know how long this lasts. That's usually what we do when we're shopping, to buy something that's like an appliance or something like that, because we want to make sure it lasts a long time. But the thing is, we know that everything wears out, including us. Yeah, we feel that. So God put us within this tension of the perishable and the imperishable, and the mortal and the immortal. And it's that one side that causes us to have these anxieties. But there's something God has done. He's put within us a longing. It's a longing for the imperishable. And you know, we say, okay, we know it's going to break down, but what is this longing? Even if everything does seem to break down, it doesn't erase this longing. It's still there. It's always there. Nothing erases that longing. And it's because in Ecclesiastes 3:11, the second part of that verse, it says, He, God, has also set eternity. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. We cannot figure out that why that longing persists. But while we still have that longing, we look around and we see unfulfilled plans and unfinished projects finally fading out of the picture through decay and death. We watch that while we still have this longing inside. Well, this is a little crass, but it's an old bumper sticker that you used to see. I mean, I used to see it. Life's a bitch, and then you die. Do you remember seeing that? Life's a bitch, then you die. That's crass, and it's an unpleasant statement by those who are watching this inevitable disintegration and becoming pessimists. But it'd be even more unpleasant if it was true. It's not true. Ours are better words with a happier news. Christ is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Jesus cancels pessimism. He cancels it. Easter is the holiday that disintegrates worries from a Christian's life, a believer's life. And why does that happen in a believer's life? It's because he has taken away the sting of death. He's taken it away. So Easter celebrates death's defeat. And in verse 55, it says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" That's almost like a mockery to death. You're like scorning death and saying something like, what do you think you're doing here? Get off stage, you know? So that longed for eternity, the eternity that God has put in our hearts, that longed for eternity is now fulfilled. It's ours through eternal life. And that most famous scripture, John 3:16, it's right there. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Our eternal life is in the King of Life, our bridegroom, who left eternity and entered into time to rescue us, his bride, from the sting of death. That is such... I mean, the world needs to hear that. That God loves us like a spouse and wants to marry us. Man, the world needs to hear that. So when God's life in human flesh died, saying this, "It is finished." Death met defeat. The night before in Gethsemane, the night before the cross, in Gethsemane, Jesus chose to finish off death. That's what he chose to do in that garden, telling his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done." So as a person, people we've known enter this time of this phase of their life where they're approaching death, sometimes we say, you know, it's close now. It won't be long. It's close now. It's near the end. It won't be long. Well, Christ's choice to face death in that garden, to face death on the cross, it lets us proclaim, no, it's not ending. This is just the beginning. I'm entering into the beginning. Christ's victory enables us to scoff at death. Like I said, "Where, O death, is your sting?" Come on, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory over us? So Easter allows us to face death as a caterpillar faces the cocoon. You know, it spins this little coffin where it can rest in peace. Rip, rest in peace, little caterpillar. Until it can face that transformation into a beautiful butterfly. That's how we face death, our transformation. One of the things, we've changed our banner here to a butterfly, and it reminds me so often of my mom. She loved butterflies, and she always says, "Yeah, it's like that." I wrote a poem for her for her birthday one time, and then I used it at her memorial. Because, yeah, she was like flying off and butterfly up to heaven. So, where, O death, is your sting? Death met defeat when Christ defeated the power behind death. In verse 56, it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." The law is not a bad thing. You know, God's law is a boundary line separating life and death. On one side is life, on the other side is death. And the problem is that sin puts us on the wrong side of the line. It puts us on the death side, under the power of death. And when we cross that line into sin, then sin becomes to us a boss, an employer in a way, paying us with a currency, and the currency is death. Okay? Romans, the first part of Romans 6:23, you never should just read the first part. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Yes, there are wages, and Jesus took our wages of sin, and he took them and absorbed them on the cross. But the second part of that verse, Romans 6:23, is, "But the gift of God is eternal life." Eternal life that meets the eternity in our hearts. It resonates with that eternity in our hearts. Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So Easter is the Christian's original Thanksgiving Day. Did you know that? It is. It's the original Thanksgiving Day in verse 57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And every time, you know, we meet on Sundays, it's a weekly celebration of the, because that's why we don't meet on the Sabbath. We meet on Sundays to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And then we meet yearly on a day like this, or Easter sunrise service, to celebrate it. But at the Holy Communion, we meet every time to celebrate the thanksgiving, because that's what Eucharist means. Right out of the Greek, it means thanksgiving. So that's what our communion service is, thanksgiving. Because at the table of his remembrance, at that table, we swallow life from him who swallowed death for us. We swallow from the cross, his body and blood, we swallow down life from him who swallowed down death for us. Easter is the holiday that takes the sting out of death. It connects our inborn longing for eternity with the living reality of our eternal life, the life-giving resurrection of Christ. And we connect with that reality by faith. And one of the passages that talk about this is Romans 10 and 9, and we probably memorize this by heart. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And then when you get saved, when you hear Christ is risen, then we respond together and by saying,
He is risen indeed.
Let's pray. Father God, you gave us a holiday that took away death for us. We haven't seen the redemption of our bodies, as Romans talks about yet. We haven't seen that. But we know it's true because we've seen it in you. You are the prototype of what all humanity that puts faith in you will have. New bodies that last forever. Lord, we are just longing for that. And our bodies, as it says in Romans 8, our bodies are groaning for it. Deep inside of ourselves, we're waiting for that day when you resurrect us. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have done this for us. It's totally your grace, your goodness, your love. Lord, help us in our lives, the rest of our lives, to live out a love back to you that will, Lord, be the light of our path and be the light to other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.